This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is certainly a hump show unlike any other, and it's an October unlike any other. How about we expand it just a few days back to late September? It's a month unlike any other. The Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup on September 28th in Edmonton. The Lakers clinched the NBA title on October 11th in Orlando. And on Tuesday night, October 27th in Arlington, Texas, the Dodgers won their first World Series in 32 years. That in and of itself is a huge story. It should be the story, except it's 2020, so it's not. But congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers. After all the near misses, the close calls, the choke jobs, the epic disappointments, the Dodgers have finally broken through. They knocked on the door, they pounded on the door, they kicked down the door, and in a season that almost didn't get underway, almost didn't reach the diamond, these Dodgers are the champions. This was such a weird night. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing to watch the Dodgers celebrate. But then immediately after, the news that Justin Turner was pulled from the game in the late stages. We couldn't figure out why. Maybe you were watching or you were listening, following on social media. The speculation was defensive replacement, which I thought was weird because he's a great defender at the hot corner. Not to mention, the game was, at that time, a one-run lead for the Dodgers, and so why would you pull out one of your best bats? And we find out immediately after the game, while the Dodgers are still on the field, celebrating, hugging, jumping up and down, taking photos, crying, screaming, yelling, that Turner is tested positive for the virus. Oh, and the questions. And we're still trying to come up with some answers, though there are multiple reports coming out of Arlington from all different sources, so I think we've kind of got the general idea, the general picture now. And then, of course, the questions for Tampa Bay manager Kevin Cash. The what ifs that always ensue when a decision does not work out the way they want it to, the way they hope it will. The raw emotion from the pitcher who thought he could go the distance and didn't hold back when Cash came to get him after he allows just his second hit. Woo, there's so many layers to pick apart. So many layers. But if you don't mind, we're going to start at the end and work our way backwards. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
No balls, two strikes, two out. Urias to Adames. Call strike three. The Dodgers win. Finally, the wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020 in a year like no other, where joy has been so hard to come by. Tonight, Tears of joy, let them flow. Tonight, there is joy in Mudville. The curse of 88 is 88 and out the gate, and the Dodgers are celebrating out of the middle of the field between home plate and the pitcher's mound. The Dodgers, for the first time since 1988, 32 seasons, are the champions of baseball.
2020 is going to be remembered as a baseball season like no other. Our clubs, and especially our players, were presented with an array of unique challenges. The Los Angeles Dodgers met every one of those challenges bravely. This is truly a team of champions. Mark, it's my distinct pleasure to present to you the Commissioner's Trophy as a symbol of your 2020 World Series victory.
This is our year. We said it. This is our year. Everyone in this ballpark wearing Dodger blue, everyone all over the world wearing Dodger blue, never wavered. This is our year.
Dave Roberts definitely did not. And before that, you hear the commissioner of Major League Baseball on the field handing the trophy initially to the owner of the Dodgers, Mark Walter. And you can hear the craziness behind them on the field at Globe Life. And so this, it's such a total package and the final chapter of a story that took years to unfold. If you missed it earlier, when you look at the 32 years in between titles, the Dodgers had 14 playoff appearances. So there were years when they never got back there, but 14 playoff appearances, many of those recently, 8 consecutive NL West titles. In those 14 appearances, they petered out in the division series 7 times. They were denied in the championship series 4 times. And of course, we remember twice when they were defeated and denied in the World Series. The drought finally ended, and Charlie Steiner with the classic call at the end on the Dodgers radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. If you didn't stay up, it was pretty sweet. The emotion, the sweet relief, and every single one of these guys mentioned Clayton Kershaw, which I think is pretty amazing. So we're going to get to a lot of the post-game reaction, but let's be honest, who was the number one person that everyone wanted to hear from on Tuesday night? Probably Rays manager Kevin Cash. So we'll get to his explanation and the turning point of game number 6. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to hear your reaction to the Dodgers and to everything that we've unpacked from Tuesday night and really from this series. Also on our Facebook page. And thanks again for all your questions for Ask Amy. I've just been so crazy here in the studio the last 5-6 hours that I haven't really gotten to anything. So I haven't answered any of your other questions, but I'll try to over the course of the rest of the week. And then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It certainly feels normal, quote unquote, in 2020 to overreact to a move like the one Kevin Cash made. That's what we do as sports fans. And honestly, that's what social media and sports media also does. In this wave of emotion, when a move doesn't work out on the pitching pitching mound, the baseball diamond, it's instantly the worst move in the history of postseason baseball. Some guy wrote to me and said, this is the worst decision in the history of the World Series. Well, I haven't watched them all, so I can't tell you if it is or it isn't. I just know we are very much creatures of the moment. And no doubt Kevin Cash is feeling the heat, but also is feeling, as he called it after the game, the heartbreak. It's gut-wrenching to make a decision like this. But ultimately, this organization has relied heavily on analytics. And so when Blake Snell gives up his second hit, a ground ball in the bottom of the 6th inning, and there's a runner on first base, and Mookie Betts walks to the plate to begin the third time through the Dodgers lineup, out comes Kevin Cash. And he pulls Blake Snell, Kind of interesting, by the way, I've seen multiple replays of this moment when Snell gets pulled off the mound. On one TV screen, which is the MLB Network, they are now covering up his mouth because it's very easy to tell exactly what he's saying. It starts with F. He yells it, so there's no way that you cannot read his lips, whereas other networks have chosen just to leave it. I think we can all see his displeasure, whether we can hear it or not. And so, Blake Snell gets pulled. I kid you not. This is his box score. This is from the box score. This is his line, his pitching line. He goes 5 1/3 innings, so he's pulled in the bottom of the sixth. He allows 2 hits, 1 run that actually was charged to him, but it was Nick Anderson who allowed it to come around and score. 9 strikeouts. 9. He struck out 9 of the first 18 guys he faced. No walks, no home runs, 73 total pitches. If I'm not mistaken, he's the highest paid player on the Rays. He's your ace. This is what you have an ace for. And according to Blake Snell, this was the best he felt all year. It was the best game he had pitched all year. I understand analytics. I get that they are a valuable tool and they have changed the face of sports. But I say it all the time, and it was resonating through my brain. I had to tweet it last night as well. Analytics don't measure heart. They don't measure desire. They don't measure experience, emotion, instinct, or the pressure of being on the biggest stage in sports. In my opinion, analytics take the human element out of the equation. They're far more one-dimensional. How often in a World Series, in an NBA championship game, in a Super Bowl, how often do we see a human being rise to the occasion and make history? If you're following analytics, Brett Phillips never happens, right? Unless, of course, he's the last guy that you have on your bench. We don't have numbers that measure these other intangibles that always come into play with sports. I mean, do analytics tell you there's going to be a double error walk-off in the bottom of game 4? No.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Hey, I'm trying to be serious here. Analytics are one piece of the equation, one piece of the puzzle. And I applauded Dusty Baker earlier in the playoffs for going with his gut, for using the eye test and sticking it with a pitcher on the mound. But in this particular case, Kevin Cash, about to be the third time through the lineup. Oh, and Blake Snell had just given up a grounder. Oy. This is a decision that I know will be second-guessed forever. It's not the reason that the Rays lost the series. It's not the reason, probably, I don't even know if it's the reason the Rays lost last night, because they also struck out 16 times and only produced a single run. But it certainly was a turning point, and Cash had to answer for it.
The only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it.
I just want the ball. I felt good. I did everything I could to, you know, prove my case to stay out there. And then for us to lose, you know, it sucks. I want to be the guy that stays out there as long as I can and, you know, give this team the chance to win every ball game. And it sucks, you know, being pulled. But, yeah, pretty much that's it.
There's no set plan. This organization is tremendous about giving the staff the trust to make the in-game decisions that we feel is going to make or give us the best chance to win. And I totally respect that. What it unfolded today was pretty tough.
I want to win, and I want to win the World Series, and that's the goal. So for us to lose, it just sucks. I mean, I'm not going to question him. I mean, he's a hell of a manager, so I'm not going to question him. I'll voice my opinion, and, yeah, I can only look forward to, you know, the offseason, what I'm going to accomplish this offseason to get ready to, you know, be the best me I can be for next year. But we came up short. And the only thing you can do from this point is get better and focus on what, you know, what I can do to be better for next year.
It sounds like that's the final word, right? The definitive word from Blake Snell. But the more he was asked questions, the more he talked, the more open and candid he got. This is a decision and a moment that he not only didn't agree with, but it's probably going to drive him nuts for a while. And I think Kevin Cash as well. But if it works out, or if the Rays don't give up two runs or give up maybe the Mookie Betts home run of the eighth and they manage to come up with some offense and they win, then no one's talking about this. It's all perspective, right? But here's the weird thing about analytics, or at least in this situation. He goes with the numbers and what they tell him. That Blake Snell, third time through the lineup, that's not a great option, even though he's pitching lights freaking out. And he goes to Nick Anderson, who set a baseball postseason record for six consecutive appearances with at least one run allowed. Right? So I know Nick Anderson's been really good, but not in the postseason. He's actually been leaky. And as we saw, there's a wild pitch, maybe a lot of adrenaline, maybe crazy nerves, whatever it is. There's a wild pitch that allows a run to score. Austin Barnes comes around. So Mookie comes up next, faces Anderson, smokes a double. Barnes goes to third. Then there's a wild pitch. Barnes comes home. That's the tying run. Then it's Corey Seager, who hits a ball to first base. The throw comes home, but because Mookie has such a incredible early break on home plate, he beats the throw. If you haven't seen the video, I love these field level videos. You got to check it out on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Baseball posted it. The timing is so bang, bang. You see Seager break from the box. Okay, so he makes contact. It's clearly a grounder. He breaks from the box. He's not even a third of the way up the first base line, and Mookie's already coming behind him and going into a slide. I mean, the timing is crazy. Seager's still in the camera shot, and you already see Mookie sliding into home. That's how good of a break. That's how early of a break Mookie made. And he's a blast. I mean, it's a joyride for him around the bases. And he does it again, as baseball called him, the base running king, which is kind of funny considering that his manager stole one of the most epic and memorable bases in postseason history himself. So there's a lot to get to. Just amazing that the Dodgers finally end their drought, and they've done it after so many failures, public failures, epic disappointments. Clayton Kershaw, his celebration, the moment of reflection, the relief that is painted all over his face. And yet you've got this Blake Snell component, and you also have what happened immediately after, which is the news that Justin Turner tested positive for COVID. So what was he doing out there during the game? Well, we have the answer. What was he doing out there post-game? We've got that answer too, though I'm not sure it will satisfy everyone. I'm not sure that it will be enough for fans to hear on this Wednesday morning, but we're going to give you the answers. Most importantly, top headline on this Wednesday morning, a seventh World Series title for the Los Angeles Dodgers, their first since 1988, and Vin Scully was awake and alive to tweet about it. How cool is that?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And Betts with a fly ball to left field. Well hit. It's on its way. It's gone. Mookie Betts with a home run. Dodgers lead 3-1, inching closer to the World Series championship on a home run by Mookie Betts.
That means everything. You know, they traded for me to get here, and I was supposed to be the guy to put us over the edge, and so I took pride in that. You know, I channeled that pressure, that energy, and put it out on the field, and you know, made it happen.
It feels like a family, man. For the most part, we've been together since 2017, and before for these other guys, and we've been through a lot, man. And it's such an unbelievable feeling celebrating with these guys, and I'm kind of at a loss for words, but it's hugging Kirsch, hugging Julio at the end, like what he's been through, and man, it's been unbelievable.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The screeching like kindergarten girls in the background is so fantastic. Yeah, the celebrations are, those are my favorite moments. And this one's a little different, right? Because there are some fans. So if you think back to the Tampa Bay Lightning, they celebrated on the ice. And of course, they had the handshake line. But there were no fans there at all in Edmonton. In the bubble in Orlando, no fans at all with the Lakers. Though their families, some of their families were there, which was nice. In this case, you actually had fans. 11,437 making a ton of noise. Oh, and booing Rob Manfred mercilessly to the point where he stopped talking. Initially, he waited thinking the boos were going to die down, but they did not. And so I'm really glad that there were some fans there in the stands at Globe Life. It's still atypical. It's a neutral site, which I hope never happens again. But to hear people screaming and screeching and getting excited and to see the mayhem on the field was pretty amazing. First, you hear the Mookie Betts home run, his second of the World Series on the Dodgers radio network, and then Mookie himself on MLB Network, followed by Cody Bellinger, who's been a staple and calls this a family. And he mentions Clayton Kershaw. Like every other coach, manager, front office brass player did, they all mentioned Clayton Kershaw. How about this from World Series MVP Corey Seager when he was doing his post-game presser?
It was special, man. We got some guys that have grinded all the way through this and never got it done, you know, and today we did, you know. Now Kersh goes down as the best ever to be, the best ever to step on that mound.
Even when the question wasn't about Clayton Kershaw, they all mentioned Clayton Kershaw. And I knew for me as a fan, this was the part that I wanted to see, was Clayton finally getting that ring, because this is redemption. It's vindication. He had two wins in this World Series. I know his postseason history has been a roller coaster ride, but come on, the man has pitched in 20 postseason series. And he's gone through so much, and there's been so much said about how he's the best pitcher ever in the regular season, the best pitcher never to win a title. And he no longer has to be saddled with that or branded with that. And so to see him, actually, because I'm a girly girl, an emotional girl, brought tears to my eyes. He's in the bullpen, so he's not in the dugout. The camera's on him. He's in the bullpen. He initially raises both hands straight up in the air, and he looks to the sky, and he stands there. And all of his fellow players are rushing out of the bullpen to go join the scrum that's at the pitcher's mound in the infield. And he takes a minute of reflection. He looks like he gets really emotional, and then he breaks into this gigantic grin, kind of points to where I'm sure there were family members sitting in the stands. And then finally, he's the last guy to join the celebration, and everyone wants to grab him and give him a hug. And of course, even though he didn't pitch in this game, he was also talking about finally being part of a World Series championship.
I'm just so very thankful to be a part of this group of guys, and so very thankful that we get to be on the team that is bringing back a World Series to the Dodger fans after 32 years. And they've waited a long time, and to get to do that, to get to be on the team that did that in LA, you couldn't ask for anything more. It's incredible.
He said that he kept saying it over and over, World Series champions, World Series champions, World Series champions, in the hopes that it would sink in, but it hadn't when he was making his comments. If you haven't seen Dave Roberts on the field after the game, so this is when he is first handed the mic from the commissioner. He is the first to start yelling about Clayton Kershaw and how much he loves Clayton Kershaw. And so you can tell this is a theme for these guys. Very often we hear this from a group of teammates where they'll say, this one, you know, we're playing for this guy. We're playing for this guy. And then we go back to the Super Bowl 50 where it was Peyton Manning and it was DeMarcus Ware. And we're playing for these guys and we want these guys to get a ring. There's often a veteran player, someone who's been around for a long time, who's been through the ringer, the highs and the lows, and is stuck with it. Or someone that people have labeled as a choker or, you know, the best ever to never win a ring. And it doesn't matter what people say about Clayton Kershaw anymore because he's now got the hardware. He's got the ring. Three MVPs, yeah. He would trade all those for what happened last night. And finally, I think a lot of people can appreciate what he's been through and also celebrate with him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Justin Turner news broke immediately following the game. So here's what we know. He was pulled from the game in the late stages because Dave Roberts got a phone call telling him that Turner had tested positive. One of his samples had been retested and it came back positive for the virus.
I didn't know what happened. It was the seventh inning and I get word that we got to take him out of the game and my heart goes out to him. You know, I don't know enough about it to even speak on it. I just wish that he was out here so I can put my arms around his big red head.
That is appropriate for Justin, right? Well, interesting that he says that because guess who was sitting right next to Justin Turner in the team photo? That was Dave Roberts. And neither one of them is wearing a mask. And I will tell you, you're going to see that photo, that still photo, about 8 million times if you're on social media or you're watching TV over the course of Wednesday and probably beyond because Turner did return to the field an hour later. So he was initially put in isolation. In fact, the reports, there are now multiple different insiders who are filling in the gaps and sharing details in the wake of the news. But he was put in isolation in a doctor's office there at Globe Life Field. And he himself tweeted that he ran the gamut of emotions. He felt every single emotion known to man. He was not out there when the final outs were recorded. He was still back in the bowels of the stadium. And the celebration breaks out. He's still underneath the stadium until about an hour later. And he's insistent that he has to get out there. And the Dodgers agreed with him. So this wasn't Justin breaking all the rules and the team saying, get the hell off the field. No, the Dodgers wanted him out there as well. And so he goes out there for the most part. There's a lot of videos with him wearing a mask. He and his wife, Courtney, they're in the dugout. They're congratulating other players. A lot of them are wearing masks, maybe because Justin had tested positive. But there were a couple of moments where he took off his mask and the team photo was one of them. And Dave Roberts is right next to him. And according to a Dodgers insider, Michael Duarte from NBC LA, who's been on our show a bunch, he said the Dodgers decided that because they had been with Justin at the team hotel going back now more than a month, because they'd been going through all the protocols, but they'd also had close contact with him now for more than a month, that they'd already been exposed, they weren't going to worry about it, that it would matter to them more to have him out there on the field. So that was the team decision. I don't know what baseball can do about it now, but that was their reasoning, that they'd already been exposed to him, so he might as well be out here. And you can judge, you can criticize, you can say whatever you want, but it's now after the fact. Now, how did they not find out about the test until the middle of the game? That is another story, and it doesn't sound like it's on the Dodgers. So this is coming from Tom Verducci and Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan. They all say that there was an inconclusive test, a test sample that they had to retest. So it was taken on Monday. It was inconclusive, or they weren't sure about the results, and so they retested it Tuesday. For whatever reason, Justin was in the game, though they did not get those results back, those retest results back until the game was already underway. As you hear Robert say, he finds out in the late stages, the seventh inning, so he has to pull Justin Turner. So who knows what happened, why it took the time that it did. It seems like some of these tests can be instantaneous, but this one was not, and they didn't find out until the game was underway, and that's when he gets pulled. It was not a false positive. It was retested multiple times. All of the Dodgers will be tested again on Wednesday. There's some uncertainty about when they're traveling back to Los Angeles, whether or not they're going to isolate. But at this point, we know that Justin at least had tested positive. He is asymptomatic. He said that after the game that he feels great and didn't even know he had it. So we'll see if there's fallout. Wait a minute. We'll see the fallout. There will be fallout. All right. But congratulations to the Dodgers, because that's huge.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Feathers helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Cleveland Browns.
And here we go. They are second down and 10 at the 24-yard line. Out they come. Shotgun. Kareem Hunt in the backfield. Two receivers left, one right. Mayfield back to pass. Looks going towards the end zone. And it's caught by Donovan Peoples-Jones. Touchdown! He got it! He got it! The rookie from Michigan got it with 11 seconds left to go!
A back shoulder throw. Unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Right corner in the end zone. Baker Mayfield to Donovan Peoples-Jones.
That is your choice for TD of the week. So I got to tell you, the Browns come up with a sweep of Monday MVP with Baker Mayfield. Five touchdowns, including that chuck. Oh, and it was a dart, too. To the rookie, Donovan Peoples-Jones, with 11 seconds to go, and they beat the Bengals. So they do get another division win, just not yet against the Ravens or the Steelers, but they're working on that. Jim Donovan with the classic call of the not quite end of the game, but pretty darn close, as the Browns beat the Bengals in a shootout. And thank you for voting for not just Monday MVP, but TD of the week. We put those polls up on our show Twitter. It's part of our football routine after our CBS on Twitter. And then also on our Facebook page, lots of you debating over either that touchdown or the TJ Hawkinson, the Detroit Lions with no time left on the clock. And that was my vote because, I mean, let's be honest, we're not going to get many of those from Detroit. I'm teasing, Lions fans. But because the call from Dan Miller was so good, and because it was literally with no time left on the clock. So I erred on the side of Lions and Dan Miller, but I love the debate that was going on Facebook. Thanks so much for all of you who've weighed in. I've spent very little time looking at social media tonight because it's been so nutty. I just said to Dave, do you think this was a good show? Because I can't really tell. It's gone by in a blur, but I hope that we've given you the information, the audio, the highlights from the field, the post-game reaction. And, of course, we are trying to stress the significance of not just the Dodgers ending their drought of 32 years, but doing it in a season like this one, where there was more fighting than cooperating, and we weren't even sure they'd ever reach the diamond. Remember getting shut down in spring training, the protocols, the procedures, the outbreaks with the Marlins and the Cardinals, and the postponements and the doubleheaders and the travel issues and the crazy scheduling that baseball had to do. You think the NFL has had to go through the ringer with its scheduling tweaks, nothing compared to what baseball had to do. And to get to the point where they actually have fans in the stands for two of their final series is pretty cool. And I'm excited for Dodgers fans. Eric from Los Angeles called us earlier and said, and I quote, "It's absolutely bedlam here. It's wonderful." And then he says at the end, he might have been drinking. He says at the end, "Be careful, Amy. We'll be careful for you." Maybe he thought I was in L.A. I don't know. Sometimes people don't realize it's a national show and they think that you're actually in their local city, which is okay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to call the show ever and always, nightly even, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night, or you could switch to Geico and save. Side note, producer Dave, do you think that we finally get some non-scary, non-Geico-ing copy once October is over? Just a simple yes or no will do.
I mean, knowing the people who put out the copy, probably not.
That was not a yes or no. That does not make me feel better. I suppose that no one feels worse on this Wednesday morning than Blake Snell, unless maybe it is Kevin Cash.
Will Smith waiting behind him in the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out.
Blake Snell strikes out the side here in the fourth, and he continues to be outstanding.
Seager on 0-1. Takes a pitch in the dirt, gets past Zanino. Here comes Barnes with the tying run. The Dodgers even the score at one. Pitch in the dirt, kicks past Zanino. Betts goes to third. Lead run 90 feet away. One ball, one strike to Seager, who grounds it to first. Now coming home, Betts beats the throw with a head first slide. And the Dodgers take a 2-1 lead.
Oh, the sixth inning, the fateful sixth inning of game number six, when Blake Snell gives up just his second hit. It's a ground ball. I mean, a ground ball to Austin Barnes, who was the number nine guy in the lineup. And because they were about to go third time through the lineup, Kevin Cash promptly trots out there and grabs Blake Snell, who doesn't quite throw a temper tantrum, but certainly isn't on board with the decision. In comes Nick Anderson, who's been like a Kenley Jansen in this postseason, a roller coaster ride. Gives up the Mookie Betts double. You wonder, I mean, if Blake Snell, who had not allowed a hit to the top of that order, was the one who was on the mound, would he have given up a double just because it's the third time through? I don't know. We'll never know. But Mookie promptly doubles. There's a wild pitch that you hear on the Dodgers radio network that allows Barnes to tie the game when he scores, and then Betts breaking for home, brilliant base running on a Corey Seager fielder's choice up the first baseline. He's able to beat the throw, and the Dodgers take the lead and never look back in game number six. The more that Blake Snell talked last night, the more it was obvious that not only was this a decision that he didn't agree with, but he was prepared. He thought this night might be different, and it's something that's going to eat him up for a long time.
I get it's a third time through the lineup, but I mean, I think I'm going to make the adjustments I need to make as I see them, you know, a third time. I think, I don't know, man, I just believe in me. I believe in my stuff. I believe in, you know, what I was doing. I didn't walk nobody. They had two, you know, hits up the middle, you know, the slider to Barnes, you know, tip your cap. That was a bad pitch. And he got a hit off that. Good job. But for most of that game, man, I was dominating every outcome possible. So, and that lineup is so talented, And yeah, I don't know. I'm proud in the way that, you know, I scouted them. I scouted myself. I'm just proud of everything I did to put the team in a situation to win. And I wanted to keep going, man. I felt so confident, you know, how I adjusted through seeing them a second time and what I was going to be able to do a third time. Like, man, I believed a lot in myself and what I did to, you know, hopefully see him a third time through and a fourth time if needed. I mean, I wanted to go that whole game. That was everything I wanted to do, was just, you know, burn the tank and see how far I could go.
I actually really feel for him, because so often I've said that in my life, in my career, I just want a chance. Just give me a chance. Just give me an opportunity and I'll prove to you that I can do it. And here's Blake Snell. I don't know this for sure, but I feel like this is the case. The highest paid Ray on their roster. He's your ace. He's the name, but he's also got the resume. And twice in game six of the ALCS and in game six of the World Series, almost identical situations. Now, Blake Snell wasn't pitching as well in the ALCS. You hear him say that this was the best he's pitched all year. He was locked in, and the numbers back it up. The box score will tell you 5 1/3. 9 strikeouts, no walks, 2 hits, 1 run. What more could you want from your ace? Maybe a little run support, but that's not on him. It doesn't tell the whole story. Now, what Kevin Cash said is that this wasn't pre-planned. We're going to let you hear this one more time, and then producer Dave has a really good point.
There's no set plan. This organization is tremendous about giving the staff the trust to make the in-game decisions that we feel is going to make or give us the best chance to win. And I totally respect that. What it unfolded today was pretty tough.
So Kevin Cash says it wasn't pre-planned, meaning this wasn't something that they automatically were going to do based on the analytics, third time through the lineup, except that's pretty consistently what he's done in this postseason. And I just want to give you one Dodger reaction to it. Honestly, I feel like it's a dead giveaway that if your opponent loves the move you made, it's probably not the right move to make. It's probably a sign that it's not the best decision. This was Mookie Betts on MLB Network after the game when they asked him about Blake Snell getting pulled.
I was like, whew, thank you. You know, he was rolling. You know, he was pitching a fantastic game. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure why, and I'm not going to ask any questions. You know, I'm just going to be happy that we're winners.
Not asking any questions. We'll leave that to the media. We'll leave that to the fans. What in the world? Kevin Cash said it was gut-wrenching, but he still went ahead and did it. And, Dave, you made a really good point about it not being pre-planned.
Well, how could it possibly not be pre-planned if you're talking about, well, he's just not going to see the lineup for the third time through.
So no matter what.
Exactly. So which one is it? You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. I understand that lying is hard, and you have to really pay attention to all the details when you want to lie to the media. And I get that that's now the manager's job. You have to be out in front and say, no, this is not what we're doing. This is what we were doing. But it doesn't work both ways. You can't say it wasn't pre-planned, but then say he's never getting through the third time in the lineup. And he was unhittable.
He was.
Just leave him out there. They probably would have been okay. Yes, score some runs, but you can't pull him in that situation.
Maybe it sparks an off-season conversation again about the balance between analytics, which so many of the franchises are turning to, analytics versus gut, analytics versus instinct. And some of the older school managers, they still are allowed to rely on those instincts, like a Dusty Baker. Love the decision that he made going back to the ALCS, where he stuck with his pitcher because his pitcher and his infield said, I've got this. We've got this. He can do this. It was Greinke, wasn't it? Zach Greinke. That was when he went with his gut. But in this particular case, Kevin Cash goes with what the numbers tell him. And the analytics, they're one-dimensional. They're based on the past. They're not based on the present. They're not based on the future. And they're certainly not based on the human ability to rise to the occasion and make history, where a human has never gone before. That's what analytics can't measure. I mean, we see history in sports all the time. We see athletes do something that's never been done. Analytics can't tell you that's coming. They can't tell you to prepare for that. And that's where they're one-dimensional. They take the human element out of the equation, and the gut and the instinct and the heart and the desire and the pressure, all of those intangibles have to be taken into account. Ultimately, amazing run for the Dodgers. It was shorter. It was unconventional, but they win their first World Series title in 32 years, and they do it at the expense of the Tampa Bay Rays. We crown another champion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.